Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for this episode with Josh Albrecht. Remember, new shows are posted every Monday and Thursday. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and YouTube. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a review on iTunes. Before I play today's interview for you, I want to give a shout out to the great sponsors of Futures Radio Show: CME Group, Trading Technologies, RJO Futures, and Top Step Trader. To learn more about these sponsors and the important things they are doing for futures traders, be sure to click on their logos on our website. Today, I spoke with professional pilot Josh Albrecht. You're probably wondering, why am I having a professional pilot on the show? Well, over the past 3 years, Josh has been trading futures on his days off, working his way to becoming a full-time trader. So I wanted to have him on the show to discuss his struggles in becoming a profitable trader. Josh shares with us why he chose to trade futures over stocks or options, and what he went through finding the right markets and strategy that best suited his personality. We talked about Josh's struggles and how he is tackling those struggles. Finally, we talked about networking with other traders on Twitter and how Josh manages his time between his full-time job as a pilot, his family, and trading futures. Without further ado, let me take you right to the interview with Josh. Josh, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Anthony, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun today, Josh. Thanks for coming on the show. And let's start off by telling the audience why you and I are doing this show today. I reached out to you because I wanted to have you come on the show and share with us the struggles that you're going through to becoming a full-time trader. You know, you are not yet a full-time professional trader. You're currently a full-time pilot who trades futures when you're not working. So a lot of what we're going to cover today is the struggles that you're going through as a new trader. So I want to start from the beginning. First off, what I'm very interested in is why futures, Josh? Why did you decide to trade futures?
Yeah, so in the natural progression of just learning about different products, I was into options. To cut a long story short, had a more or less of a quick parting with that instrument after some very volatile emotional trading. So I took about 6 months off. I reevaluated if I really wanted to try and make it as a trader, what that meant for me, and then just doing my homework on how I wanted to do that. And so that led me to futures, just for obviously the market access, the different different types of markets, tax benefits. So I settled on futures as being the thing that I wanted to try and trade. And then from there, it was just a question of, really at this point, it was like, what are futures? I don't even know how you, I'm sure it's buying and selling, but I knew nothing about them. So it was that process of just kind of relearning what the instruments even meant.
So natural progressions, did you start in stocks, then go to options, and then ultimately choose futures?
Yeah, exactly. I did, I've told a couple of these stories via Twitter, but stocks, like when I was in college, messed around, no idea. I forget the exact time, but I started into like ETNs, and then I somehow, as a bad idea, got into leveraged ETNs, ETFs, and that was a disaster, as quickly, as concisely as I could put it. And that moved me to options, which is where I, at the time I tried, I thought I was doing a good job of, quote unquote, trying to be a professional part-time trader, but I was really just emotionally trading with no idea what I was doing. And it was pretty evident in the results.
So for me, it was easy to learn about trading futures because I started when open outcry was actually a thing. It still exists, but obviously not like it is today. So I got a job in the trading floor, runner, clerk, made my way up, exchange made us take a test on the basics about futures. And I learned by watching the best traders in the world doing it, you know, by seeing it live. So in the electronic age of trading, and you live in Pittsburgh, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
So in Pittsburgh, you guys don't have pits there. You don't have a place where you could go and just and learn about futures. So how did you go about learning the basics about futures?
So, I mean, my personality is, I would say, semi to fairly addictive. So when I kind of find something that I want, I just kind of go 110% all in. I was like that with flying. I've been like that with a few other things. And so I just started reading, you know, not necessarily books, but just I was on, you know, like Investopedia and CME Group. And there's a ton of good online stuff. It just Google everything. You know, how does this work? You know, find an answer, find a YouTube video. And so it started there with like basic mechanics, I would say. And then it's kind of fuzzy. I don't really, it's not like I have a step-by-step recollection of, you know, what I learned when, but at some point I found Twitter and I found a few good traders on there, or I shouldn't say good traders. I don't really know anything about the performance, but I found people that I thought knew what they were talking about. And it seemed to make sense to me. And I started to kind of tack on to what they were doing. Follow that with just watching the market, you know, 24/7 basically. And you kind of have a 6-month startup time probably. So I at least had, you know, basic, mechanics down. I knew, you know, again, I was on the CME website all the time. So if I had a question about, you know, even random stuff that I didn't really care about, like physical delivery, you know, I'd like just Google that and find that out. So again, just to kind of have a more holistic view on that. So again, about 6 months and I was kind of up and running, so to speak. And that doesn't speak to anything about strategy or anything like that. But as far as just learning about the futures themselves, I had an okay handle on it.
Did you start learning the basics about futures before you began to trade, or were you doing everything at once, trading and learning the basics?
Well, like you can probably guess. I'm going to do my due diligence. I did this, my pep talk myself. I said, I'm going to do my due diligence. I'm not going to trade. I'll, you know, do demo or whatever. And so that lasted about a month. And then I was like, okay, I know what I'm doing as far as, again, I can click and click. And I can get in and get out, and I can make money now. And again, I did have some previous background, so I didn't have, 100% money making option strategies. But, you know, I traded off of a basic idea, which didn't exactly translate to futures, but I thought I could tweak it. So that shortly became me doing it live, and basically paying the market tuition is the best way to say it. So no, I didn't wait long enough. I wish I would have, in hindsight.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about, we all go through struggles learning this business, everybody. Even with me being in person with many mentors, I still struggled. And I think we all have to, like you said, pay our tuition, and we all have to learn the hard way, period. Until you start losing money, you never really, I don't think you really learn anything. You have to pay the market something to be able to, I think, to get really hyper-focused on what you need to do. So talk to us about some of the struggles that you went through learning how to trade futures.
Yeah, and there's been many and many phases. And unfortunately, you know, unless you keep checking, at least for myself, unless you keep checking yourself, they have a tendency to return. So there's a few phases of this. The first phase was me basically having no clue what I was doing. And by that, I mean, I had everything down as far as charts. I had, you know, plenty of monitors. I had plenty of knowledge about what instruments I was trading, how to trade. You know, I had a trading plan. I had all the basics that you would have. And keep in mind what I told myself this whole time. And at the time, I believed that I was doing a good job of this. I said, okay, I can see Twitter. I could see, I've read books. I've listened to Market Wizards. And again, I knew that none of those things individually, you know, none of them are like a holy grail. So I tried to be as humble as I could and take all of the lessons. And I said, okay, I won't do these, you know? And so sure enough, I made all those mistakes. But at the beginning, it was mainly, I didn't have a strategy, not a real strategy. And I really struggled with finding a good strategy. You hear people talk on Twitter about, oh, you know, your edge and what's your edge. The first major hurdle that I had, if I had to elevator pitch somebody my edge, I would not have been able to do it. I had no clue, you know, what that really was. And I knew that was a problem. Like, I knew deep down. I even remember telling myself this. I said, if you had to like tell somebody in like 4 sentences what you did, like to make money or to try and make money, you would have no idea what to say. And so sure, I could have said, oh, I'm using like a volume profile, market profile concept. And I've, you know, but I knew deep down it wasn't a real strategy. So that was the first big hurdle, probably the biggest hurdle, I think, that I had to overcome. And there's really no, I really didn't find anything. It wasn't like an aha moment. I found this and now it's, you know, now I can figure it out. It's really just me continuously trading and losing money to find out what worked and what didn't work. And that's what demo is supposed to be for, you know, and I didn't do that, you know, trading not live. And I really should have done a better job of doing that, only because you're still going to pay the, in my opinion, you're still going to pay the market tuition. Nothing's for free, but I would have saved myself a lot of financial and emotional capital having been a little bit more reserved at the beginning. So that was the first big struggle.
Well, let's talk about strategy a little bit. How did you go about choosing and finding a strategy for you?
I can't understand how difficult this was for me. I don't know why. I just feel like it's like a new, you know, okay, make money from an electronic market, you know, from thin air, basically. How do you do that? So, you know, start kind of watching things, you know, just, you know, again, we all know support and resistance. We all know, you know, trend following, all these terms that you hear from books. And so you kind of look at and see, you know, what am I interested in, I guess, is the first thing that you come across. And then what is information out there that, one, will connect, at least for me, what you could kind of rapidly absorb, you know, that's part of the problem. So the most accessible thing is usually not the best thing. That's not rocket science, you know? So if you see a bunch of stuff out there that's easy to understand, it's probably not going to have like this incredible strategical edge. And so, again, at the time, I kept saying to myself, okay, don't be naive, you know, don't make the same mistakes that you've read about. Again, I knew I wasn't going to prevent them, but I tried to hedge against really being very naive. And of course, the whole time I was being incredibly naive. So again, the first thing I found basically after the generic reading was Twitter. And so a few people on there doing some things, and I said, okay, this kind of makes sense. You know, it was basically the first real strategy I tried that I explained now without knowing it was basically like me fighting ES algos. So I'm on like a 1 to 3 minute time frame. So basically the worst thing you could ever start as like a new, in my opinion, a new futures trader is trade the ES on a 1 to 3 minute time frame. I mean, you will literally, I almost lost my mind. I don't know what was going on. And again, I would have periods of like, okay, runs, and then it would completely change. And so all these things that I thought, you know, I was doing a good job of, it's basically a catastrophe. I had no clue what I was doing. And maybe I'm being too hard on the process, but I really struggled with like, okay, well, it's not working. So like, now what do I do? Cause I don't have any other ideas. And so you hear everyone on Twitter talking about, oh, this strategy and that strategy. I'm like, I mean, how do people think of stuff like out of thin air? I don't know. So, it's just the best thing I could say is really just a process. So I eventually got out of that stage and just started to, you know, move into the second stage, I guess.
Well, I mean, look at, like I said, I was on the trading floor. I went through the same thing. I went through every indicator under the book to try to find something that worked for me. That's why I asked you, how did you find a strategy for you? Because I think at this point you get it that someone can show you something, but doesn't mean it's going to resonate with you because you have to go out and execute it. It has to make sense to you.
It's very nuanced. It's hard to explain, you know, even to talking to like non-trader, you know, people, it's very difficult to explain, but yeah, I agree. It's difficult to find out what works for you. Even if someone hands you a, you know, hey, this is a really good strategy. It's like, it's tough for you to work out. It's like, hey, you've been there.
It's amazing how that is, right? I mean, I could watch somebody make money right in front of me with a strategy, and then I could go and try and trade it and lose money doing the same exact thing that they're doing. It's mind blowing. I did that for a long time until I was like, okay, this is not going to work for me. I want to go back and start from the beginning again. You're going through your strategies, figuring out what works best for you. Do you mind sharing with us how much capital you started with? What did you feel was sufficient to start trading futures?
Yeah, basically, I think I started in futures with like 20 grand, you know? And so I knew that, you know, I had read things like, oh, don't start with $5,000 and do $500 margins in the ES. And so, okay, I won't do that. I knew it wasn't like a ton amount of money, but I thought it was okay. It's enough I basically cut the amount right in the middle. So some people said you probably should start with 50 grand. Don't start with 5,000 or 10,000. So I said, okay, I'll cut the difference, basically 20 grand. And it was enough, you know, I just did a bad job of managing it probably. I did a bad job of managing it. Like I said, I should have really been very patient, and that's not a strong suit of my personality, which I knew, you know, it's kind of a strength and a weakness. Like I said, I have a semi-addictive personality. So when I found trading, I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like, challenge accepted. I can do this. You know, even if someone says I can't, like, I'll figure this out. I'm going to make it happen. But that led to me jumping the gun, of course, into live trading, which again is working against yourself. And so I should have spent a longer time really working out, you know, an actual strategy. Yeah. I know it sounds silly. It's not so silly to say out loud, but it's just the truth. Like, everyone wants to be, we're all traders. You want to be in the market, you know, you want to be involved. You want to learn. And then there's like the little subtle lies you tell yourself, where, well, it's not quite like live. So you probably need to get in there and just, like, you know, then you'll really start learning. It's like, and you start trading live and you're, I don't know. It's, there's so many factors.
No, there is. I mean, it's the one business that you can put tons of time in, have the greatest work ethic, think that, you know, go into it thinking because you put so much time in and you're ready to make money and all you do is lose. I mean, I was fighting that so much at the beginning of my career where you're just like, man, I put all this work in and then I go in here and I just get my butt kicked. It's frustrating. Yeah. So that's why when, you know, getting, the reason why I asked you that question, how much you started with, because people always ask me and I always say, look, it's a very personal number, but how much are you comfortable losing? And that doesn't mean that I think that you're going to lose that, but how much are you comfortable losing? Because when you go into this business, you have to be trading an amount that you're comfortable with losing, because if you lose it, you don't want to take it personal halfway through and all of a sudden it just changes the whole dynamic and what you're trying to achieve here. You know, because I think too many people go into it with emotional capital tied to the capital. And I think that that's the mistake that I made. I put all the money I had into the account. 6 months later, I didn't have it. And it just, like, rocked me. It rocked my world, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I kind of agree with that. Even for myself, I wasn't tied to the money necessarily too emotionally, but I think, and this is just speaking from experience, like, the more money you have in the account, the more money you have to make big mistakes with, and you don't want to make big mistakes at the beginning. So to be honest, I'd probably recommend, like, not that I'm some expert, but I'd probably say 10 grand. You should start with 10 grand if you actually want to learn to trade, because that way, if you blow the account, it's not the end of the world. If you put 50 grand in and blow the account, like, that, you know, that's basically five tries. You know what I mean? You could probably work something out in five tries. If you do it all in one big swoop, it's not a good idea. And again, that's speaking personally, because I've done the same thing. I've had more money than that in my account at one time. And guess what? You start to revenge trading and say, fine, I'll put on triple now. I'll put on quadruple the lots that I usually do, because I have so much more money in there. And so it's like a weaponized tool that it's literally just, you're going to crush yourself. And it never works out well. Okay. You never have huge errors that end up in giant winners. You know, it never works that way. So at least for me, I'm not that lucky.
Yeah, it's like, I wasn't either.
I traded 10 times eyes and I freaking made a killing just because I was revenge trading. Like, it never works that way. So I would recommend starting with less, you know, not five grand. Five grand is not realistic, but 10 to 15, that's probably a realistic starting point.
I tell people all the time, you're going to be amazed at how much you learn just by putting out a one lot with live money. How about yourself? The way that you handle your emotions when you're in a losing trade. There's just so many things that you're going to learn about yourself once you go live versus sim, that, you know, work your way into this business. Give yourself time. Time is what really helped me throughout time. When I was finally through all the capital I had spent just enough time to where, okay, now this next batch of capital I put in there, I feel the most ready I've ever been. I wish I was like that at the beginning, but I wasn't. But I extended myself long enough to where my last bit of capital, I was very lucky and blessed and fortunate to be able to make money at that turn. Don't burn all your capital in such a short period of time to where by the time you learn it, you're going, great, now I don't have any money. And I guarantee a lot of people out there have had that happen to them. So let's talk about markets that you chose to trade. You mentioned the ES. So many people come into that right away choosing the E-mini S&P because it's name recognition, right? Is that why you chose it? And did you choose to trade any other markets as well?
That is the reason why I chose to trade it. Mainly because you're going to go and go on. It's the most watched, you know, futures market, I would say, in my opinion. Basically the first guy I started following on Twitter, he traded predominantly ES. So I just, you know, out of natural kind of just following along, I started following that market more closely. So I did have, you know, I say this roughly, the best read, you know, I could put air quotes around that read on that market compared to something else. Because again, I had other quotes up. I had other other ladders up and other charts, but I mainly focus on the ES, and that's the only thing I actually traded. There was a time at the very beginning where I kind of traded also crude and gold because, I don't know, they looked like they moved pretty well. I'm trying to bring myself back to that mindset of knowing basically nothing. But then I followed the traditional advice of, oh, you need to only trade one market, only learn one market. So I kind of stopped doing that. I'm sure after I had some bad trades, I said, no, that's probably good advice. I came back to the ES and trading very, very short time frames, very short targets, basically like algo scalping is the best way I can put it without really knowing it and without knowing anything about algos or how they work or anything. So I was just basically like swimming in the deep end, you know, not knowing how to swim. It was a struggle. It was not pleasant. And again, I was trading very disciplined. You know, I was using stops. I've traded only one lots. So it wasn't like I was like, you know, blowing money left and right, but I was getting nowhere. It was just like a steady decline. And so I was like, you know, there's no improvement being shown. And that was the biggest problem. I said, this is not working. I need to like do something different.
Yeah, I want to go back to, Twitter, something that you put out the other day, and I responded to you. You were talking with a newer trader out there. And it was something about the best book. And I said the best book for me was watching the order book for many months until I felt comfortable with it, developed a relationship with it, learned how the market moved when it was slow, when it was busy, early morning, midday, after hours, data, headlines, etc. That is something I believe a lot of people don't do at the beginning. They basically pick a name like the E-mini S&P, and they're not even sure if that fits with them. Knowing what you know now, what would you do differently going back to the beginning of choosing a market to see if you had a relationship with it?
That's a good question. And so knowing what I know now, kind of bring it full circle, I'd trade better in thinner markets. So just by virtue of watching the ES and how thick it is, or even something like bonds, which are even, you know, even more liquid. It's just, I cannot trade bonds, you know, but basically watching and seeing, and this might be a bad thing to say, I mean, you can disagree on this, but how it makes you feel, that may sound very simple, but if you feel, you know, like, oh, this isn't really doing it for me, then don't look at that market. So that, like for me, when I watch crude move, I don't want to say it makes sense. That's probably giving me too much credit, but I at least felt like I had a connection with it. I don't know if that makes sense. It's hard to describe. Even now when I trade the ES, I know what I'm doing more because I've applied the same system that I've kind of figured out to the ES, and it works okay. It's not the best. I still like look at the ES move 5 points back and forth, and I'm like, this looks terrible. Like it hurts my eyes to watch this like algo grind. I can't do it. Like I just can't do it. And some people are like perfectly content with like just watching that. And it makes me sick. I'll click out of the trades because I don't want to watch it anymore. And there's obviously that stuff in other markets too, but I think there's less. And so, that's probably the reason why I kind of, you know, moved out of there, because I said, okay, this isn't really doing it for me. I don't know what it is. Obviously the number one thing is I'm not making money. And so one of the traders I was like sort of talking to was, well, if you're executing very well, that just means your strategy is not a strategy and you need to change something. So if you're not making money, then you're probably not doing it right. And that wasn't to trump the, you know, everyone has bad periods and we all know the caveats of, you know, having a system, it doesn't work all the time, but it was basically like 9 months of straight losing. So I just didn't have, I was like less than a coin flip, you know, it was just terrible.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I get it. And you say that you like markets that are a little bit thinner, and say I'm the exact opposite. I like the thicker, the better. My favorite market is the 10-year ultra. The reason why I like it is because awesome. I like to see price reaction more. So like when I look at the NASDAQ, I'm looking at the NASDAQ going, this is just, it's too fast for me. That's why I never really traded
fast. Yeah.
You know, when I look at the S&P, at least when I first started to trade, it wasn't as fast as it is now. And I still actively trade it, but it's thicker. And for me, I think the price reaction matters more. So this is why you and I were talking about this, is because look at, once again, we have totally different ideas on how we want to, you know, go about trading a market. And somebody out there that's listening to this, go out there and watch the book for a little bit. See how things are. Yep. See what you have a relationship with. So something else I want to talk about real quick with you is, you've mentioned this a little bit. You said that you were going through phases. And to me, look, Josh, I've been almost 20 years trading, and I'm still going through phases. That's awesome. And I look at you. You've been doing this a few years now, right?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, doing futures seriously about 3 years.
Okay, so
not a long time. Not a long time.
Even for me, and it's similar to you. I've been doing it longer than you, but we all go through phases. And just when you think you found a strategy that you'll be using potentially forever, and there's no need to tweak it, you're always tweaking it, right? I mean, the market is always, the minute you think you figured out the market changes the question. And it just is a constant tweaking. It's a constant learning. And that's why I always say you have to be a beginner every day. So for you now, a few years in, what phase do you feel you are in your trading right now?
That's a good question, and I have this conversation with myself often, because I've since then I've worked it out what I think is a pretty decent strategy. It's not a holy grail or anything, but it does make money on balance. But my problem now is dealing with my own shortcomings. So, the tendency to overtrade, the tendency to be have a lack of discipline. That's a big one for me. I just won't be disciplined enough in the way I trade. And then, if you're having I'll call it meltdown mode. Eventually all the stars align where you're tired or frustrated or whatever, and then you start to trade poorly. And then I call it meltdown mode because I go into meltdown mode very seldomly, but it does happen. And the reason why it's an issue, obviously we can't prevent bad days. We'll have bad days, and that's fine. It's made a difference on balance, over the life of my trading. So I'm in the manage all the super demons and get that under control phase. And I know that never really goes away, but obviously, again, I look to, am I making money? Am I being successful in what I'm putting all this time and effort into? Well, no, not really. So obviously something's not right. And I could see it's written all over the place in my trade logs. Yeah. Again, you say you're going to trade a one or two lot on this trade, it blows past your stop because I don't have a hard stop in, and now I'm down 50 ticks on a trade that was supposed to be a 10 tick trade. Get out, revenge trade, lose again, then flip. It's just like all these things that should never happen, just because, again, it sounds silly to say out loud like that shouldn't happen. It's funny because I try to explain it to my wife, and she's like, "Why don't you just not do those things?" I'm like, "I know it sounds really easy.
It sounds so easy.
I'm willing to bet like you'd probably be better at it than I am, but like I just get into this like mode where you're like, no, I'm a fighter. I can make this trade back. Not that I don't admit that I'm not wrong, but I can break it even. I can take a less loss. And so that's where I'm at.
Okay. So let's talk about that a little bit. Like I said, I've been doing this close to 20 years. You've been doing this close to 3. The things you mentioned, I've struggled with, and I continue to struggle with. I think the only difference between someone who's been doing this for a short amount of time versus a long period of time is that I think that the person who's doing it longer is quicker to fix the issue as it's about to happen. So I want to go over these things with you, and I want to see what you're doing to help yourself get better at those things. And maybe I can help you by telling you what I've done. So overtrading.
I'm sure you could.
So overtrading. Let's go through one at a time. Overtrading first, because this has been by far the most difficult thing for me. And the minute it gets busy, I'm an overtrader almost all the time, and I've learned to dial that back. So talk to me about what you're doing to help prevent yourself from overtrading.
So I've been talking, and I don't want to sidetrack it, but Twitter's been a good resource. And so I talked to a few traders via Twitter that I've kind of become, again, pseudo friends with. Twitter's like a weird place, but it's a good thing. And so one of the things that I've been like trying to work on is habit loops. And so it's basically the same thing that you're alluding to. There's just a cool term attached. So like, what are you going to do in the moment to interrupt like a potential mistake? And one of the things that this is kind of a, I don't want to tangent it, but one of the problems I have is because I'm not full time, I have this like acute FOMO all the time. And it's like insidiously, in the background, because I feel like my brain is like, oh, you have to get these trades in because you might not be around for the next three or four days. And even though that's not really, it shouldn't matter, it somehow always seems to manifest itself in the way I trade. And so talking about habit loops to prevent those mistakes, even if you miss out on trades, and that's kind of where the FOMO comes in, even if you miss out on the rest of the day, you prevented probably several mistakes that are again eventually going to work against you or will work against you, and you'll be able to come back to the market. It's not a big deal. And again, they're all like cliche bumper stickers. And I know I do believe all the things. Yes, the market will be there tomorrow and the next year. And it's just very difficult for me to like just to actually trade that way. So things will be going fine. Like today I had a pretty good day and I've hedged mistakes here and there, you know, pull an order, not out of fear, but just, hey, you don't need to take the trade. Trades have been good, not getting the same read. And I think another thing that people don't mention enough is the gut instinct, which we can come to later. But basically, it's the habit loops that I've been trying to put. So for over trading, if I have the tendency, and I've written these things down, I think I've done a decent job of like documenting and having good processes. But my problem is I trump those. I'll override it, you know. So if I have the tendency to like change time frames quickly, you know, if the trade's not going well and I look at a different time frame and I like check myself, I'm like, okay, this really isn't in the trade plan. You're kind of curveballing yourself now. Just click out of the trade. And I've actually been talking to a guy on Twitter too, and he said, just flatten all, literally just flatten everything and then just go for a walk, you know, because again, the market will be back if you miss a really good trade, so what, you know, that's something you can work on so that you don't miss those big trades in the future. But right now you have to make the good decision at the current moment. So don't shoot yourself in the foot. And that's been honestly my biggest problem. You know, I'll start to like spiral out of control on really bad days. Whether it be I was up big in the morning and I'm starting to like give it all back and then just quitting, I'll just continue to trade into the hole. You know, that's obviously something you don't want to do. But basically what I've started to do is check myself every time I start to do anything different. And again, I'm not doing a perfect job with this, but I'll say, okay, this isn't really the plan. You haven't done anything yet executionary wise that's not correct, but you're starting to kind of like go down the side path here. Don't do that. Just get out of the trade or don't put the trade on.
All of those things that you're doing sound really good to me. And there's a couple things that I will add that I think have been very beneficial to me. First thing that I did when I was really working on trading less was put a checklist of confirmations and I automated them. And I started to use technology to help me. If I don't get an automated signal telling me that this is the look I want, then I'm basically going away from my strategy to trade because I think I'm seeing something. And somebody who overtrades always thinks they see edges. That is just the way we're built.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, so you could think the market moves two handles up and you think, okay, it shouldn't move two handles up, and you try to make two ticks or five ticks, and next thing you know, you're losing 20 because you're already out of your comfort zone. So what I did was I used technology to help me. It has been really good for me. Secondly, that I've done that has been really good for me is I don't change my charts. So what I do is I keep up the time frames. I use a 60-minute chart for my bias of direction, and then I have one chart that I'll use it for confirmation of execution, and typically that's going to be like a 5-minute or so chart. You know, sometimes if we're really busy, or I'll change it to a 3-minute or even a 1-minute, just depending on activity, but I stay to it, and I'm not changing my format. So it's either it's the 60-minute with one of the shorter-term charts to help me execute, and if I don't change my charts, that keeps me from searching for trades. Great traders don't force trades, they're forced to trade. So those are two things that I have done that have really helped me. Take them with a grain of salt, but that's what I've done, and I am the classic overtrader. So next thing I want to talk about is lack of discipline, which I think is, you know, I've said this so many times on the show, Josh, you've heard me talk about it on the show and on Twitter. I think discipline is the most abused rule, we'll call it, in trading, that people are like, oh, just be disciplined. Okay, to what? I mean, it's like, this is, there's so many things. For me, it's being disciplined in my entire life process around trading. So anytime I think of be disciplined, it's not on one particular thing, it's about my entire process. So when you said lack of discipline, explain to us what you're doing that you're saying is a lack of discipline, and what are you doing to help yourself be more disciplined?
Yeah, it's so hard. These are such good questions, and I want to do them justice because I don't want to. It's hard to give, you know, a holistic answer because obviously you can't read my mind, and neither can anybody listening. But it's multifaceted. So to put it in perspective, you know, I'm not just showing up every day or the days that I trade, I'm just kind of winging it or having a strategy and just kind of shooting from the hip. So being in aviation and piloting, like we use checklists. So one of the first things I started doing, this was years ago, I said, I need to make myself checklists because I found that all of my biggest mistakes were rooted in basically me thinking and acting on the spot. I was not good. I continue to be very poor at making like intra trade decisions. And I'm sure, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people and everyone says the same thing. No, you're not clear in your thinking when you're in the trade. So I said, I'm going to make these checklists. I had one for routine. I have one for execution. I have one for homework. I have review checklists. Like I have four checklists that I use. And when I first developed them, I did them every day, all the time. I'd be up till 1 a.m. doing them. And as my strategy kind of got better, I guess, smoothed it out. Some of that stuff was a little bit lessened, but like execution checklist, I still use. And so a good example of that is, again, it's semi-related to, again, this like notion of not being able to interact with the very good trades that I try and see, because again, I'm like always looking at the market, even if I can't trade, I'm always watching it. And so I'm like, oh man, this trade's going to hit. I can't believe it. You know, I'm going to miss this whole thing. And so I always have that kind of like, it's difficult for me to like temper that down. So I always have that kind of like mindset and I try and just relax. And because again, I'm all like, oh man, I got to get this trade on. So I try and like relax myself, but the execution checklist, I should not skip. And so if I do skip it, something on there that I would skip is like on the checklist, it says must be a pre-identified trade. And that could be from the homework or it could be from 5 minutes ago, but you can't just say what you know, your example you gave, oh, it went up 2 points or went up 20 handles in a second. I'm just going to fade this thing. And again, I've done that, you know, oh, that's crazy. You know, if it's not a pre-identified trade, even if it's very, you know, even if it's 5 minutes ago, oh, hey, if this, we got this pattern developing here, obviously it's not going to be in the homework because the homework was done 20 hours ago, but hey, I got this setup going here. If this hits in the next couple of minutes, I'll trade it. So one of the things on the checklist is our target and stop orders already placed in the market. And so I routinely, and this is a question I have between myself and other people on how to take stops. And there's no one answer, obviously, because everyone trades differently. But a mistake I will make is if I don't put a hard stop in the market, which I don't all the time, I will not click right out. And so I probably should just put all the stops in the market because it eliminates mistakes. But that's kind of a whole nother story about, I have this like, again, this FOMO, acute FOMO of like missing trades back to when I was trading the ES, like, and you know, terribly. And it's basically, I stopped out of every move that was correct. It's the best way to put it. So, I struggle with, you know, execution, and that's, I've said this, I've done periscopes on this, just again, nothing teaching wise, but just introspection, I guess is the best way to put it on how the best way to work out what I should be doing is.
Yeah. See, for me, this goes back to why I started using technology and the automation of signals being generated for me, because it forces me to wait for that to be generated. And going back to the lack of discipline, what I've done, because for me, it was lack of discipline in my process, as I mentioned, it was always about structuring a regular schedule about how I began trading, and just what I did when I was done trading. Certain days of the week, I do certain workouts, and everything became very structured because it kept me in line with my process and just prepared right mentally every time I began to trade. So that's how I've worked on discipline. Last one I want to talk about, you said meltdown mode. For me, that was self-destructive. And what I would do, yeah, and I've done this so many times early in my career, and what I did was anytime my account was just getting beat up and I'd have a bad day, I'd go into self-destruct mode to almost like cry for help to get me out of trading, where like you wanted to quit at the moment. That's the way I felt. But then when I went home, I'm like, damn it, why did I lose that much? I don't want to quit. I want to be trading tomorrow. Yeah. So what I did to stop that was, once again, using technology, talking to my back office, putting risk limits in for me per day, talking to my risk manager saying, you do not let me trade beyond this, you know, forcing me to get out. I had to put those types of things into my trading to help train me. Because I think once you create bad habits like that, you have to create a good habit in place of it. What I did was, is I, once again, used everything I could in my power to force me be better. So what are you doing to help yourself when you get into what you call meltdown mode?
Yeah. So again, back to the habit loops. So I guess the two scenarios that often present themselves to me is one, and I don't want to say you can always tell, you know, how you're going to do on a certain day before you start, but it feels like to me, there's like a sixth sense that's kind of developed where, okay, things are like starting to not go like the way I want them to go. And it's this fine line between not having to be right all the time, but also knowing how you trade the market. So the two examples I give are, okay, so you start out trading well, you're up on the day, and then you start to give some back. There's a, you know, a theoretical discussion that takes place on, oh, should you take every trade signal depending on what your P&L is for the day? And I don't know the answer to that question. Some people say, oh no, you don't take it if you've made X amount of dollars and you're done, then just be done. Or vice versa, you're down and you take the signal in the next trade because that might be the winner. I think it's more complicated than that. And it's for each person to kind of decide. But for me, I needed to start saying, okay, if I lose half the money I made on the day, obviously I'm not trading well anymore, or it's just kind of a bad string and the market's not going with me. Either way, I probably should stop trading. I mean, it's just, and if I miss a couple trades, again, it comes back to the FOMO thing for me. If I miss a really good trade, okay, but you don't know that information ahead of time. It still could be a huge stop out, or you could make a mistake there. And so I'm not a fearful trader, so I know that most of my issues, like I'm not pulling orders. You know, I like to overtrade, so I'm not pulling orders because I'm scared to trade. You know what I mean? So I know if I pull an order, it's probably prudent. And that's kind of, again, knowing yourself a little bit. The other scenario is you're kind of grinding around break even all day. You can tell it's like a really big struggle. And it's funny because I was talking to this exact thing with someone recently on my last meltdown, which is a couple weeks ago now, is there's this point in the day where you could tell it's like everything's kind of very difficult and you're like, maybe made a little money, maybe you're right at break even, maybe you're down on the day and then it comes back to break even. You could say, I could just flatten everything right now and just reset. Just get out and just clear your head. And there's like this little thing in your, at least in my head, that goes, no, you're in like one really good trade. You can't get out of this trade. And the other ones, you're gonna battle your way out. It's gonna be fine. And so again, to kind of follow the intuition that you have, again, there's nothing saying that you know, I guess for me, there's nothing wrong with being more conservative who I am, because I have a tendency to, I know I have a tendency to fight the market and I know I have a tendency to overtrade. So a little prudence, a little bit more, you know, being more conservative, it actually helps me. But in the moment you're like, no, I can't. I've waited 3 days for this level and now I blew this trade out, but I'm in this one to make it up or whatever. And you kind of rationalize with yourself. So the two things I started doing was putting limits. Like you said, that's actually one of the things I started to think about myself was putting like prop-like rules on your account. So, hey, if I lose half the amount I made for the day, you know, that's too bad. You got to be done trading. And I have a really hard time with that, man. I have a really hard time with that. Just, it's very difficult for me to stop. It sounds like an addict, which it kind of is. And again, it's all kind of rooted in it's hard to know because I am part-time. You know, if I was full-time, maybe I'd be more relaxed. I don't know. I probably wouldn't be. It's my personality, but, I don't know. It's hard to know. So I try and like you said, put up, you know, walls around yourself so you can't jump off the building. You might scrape your knee, you might break your leg, but you're not going to jump off the building. And that's what I need to prevent myself from doing.
Yeah, I mean, you said you're getting to know yourself better throughout this journey, because trading is a journey of oneself. It's, you know, so something I want to talk about, you said earlier that in an elevator pitch, you couldn't define your edge. We talked a lot about you and your strategy so far today. Can you define your edge now?
Yeah, no, I can, which is nice to say. Basically, it's usually, I've dubbed it, self-dubbed a strength confluence indicator. So basically, I rate confluence. It's basically just a simple level system. So it's just, you know, I'm just finding levels that have confluence, and I use a numbering system, and then I basically pick one or two per market per day, you know, or depending on how many I get. Sometimes I'll get none, depending on how the price action's been. It's weighted heavier in recent PA, and it's not this like, I'm not some super awesome quant or anything like that, and so it's not like I have this magic formula or anything. It's just basic confluence. It's just good old fashioned, like looking for stuff that align. And then based on PA, when it comes into it, I have a few criteria on like whether I execute or not. But I'm basically just trading levels with Confluence.
How long did it take for you to get to this point where you could define your edge?
It probably took every bit of 2 years, to be honest. From when I started, I did 6 months of like, you know, 3 to 6 months of demo trading, and then it probably took me 2 full years.
So now you've been doing this about 3 years. How has your opinion on trading evolved over that time?
That's a good question. My opinion of trading, and I think the closer you get to becoming, I don't want to say successful, but figuring out how you're going to trade, you know, you get more, I don't want to say confident, but you feel more, there's more of a possibility that you're going to actually make it. And I feel like that's kind of where I am. So it's, you know, kind of hopeful, I guess. But at the same time, it's also equally as frustrating when you can kind of see the potential and then you still trip yourself up. And that's kind of where I've been for the last 6 months, to be honest.
So Josh, you know me from Twitter, and you and I have talked before. I talk a lot about execution, and you're going to see that in a lot of my tweets because I think it's a lot easier to execute the path versus calling the path. And to me, it sounds like you've learned that about yourself. So what have you learned about the importance of execution, executing the path versus calling the path?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I mean, you're obviously fairly outspoken on Twitter, and mentor slash friend Tom Dantes, you know, very, very outspoken on Twitter about execution. So, you know, you can kind of key into who people are and what they say. And there's a bunch of other people that have said the same kind of echoing statements, but anybody can call a market. And I always say that, I always kind of chuckle to myself because I have such a bad habit rap of calling. I can't call a trade to save my life, but if I execute well, I'll trade well. That doesn't make any sense to say out loud, but it's true. If I call a market and if I call a trade, it never works out the way I say it will. But on balance, I can make trades work out. I don't know, that might not make any sense at all, but
it makes perfect sense to me.
I can't, if I say, oh, copper's going to be bid tonight, and it'll tank, and someone will say, oh, that was a terrible call, but I'll have made money on the trade. You know, I might have seen something halfway through that I got out earlier, or I just hit another in the process of that whole idea developing. I actually got a short signal and I shorted it. So again, it's very difficult, especially from a distance on Twitter. That's why I don't really get people, you know, giving people like grief for stuff. But execution, I completely agree. If I executed like a robot, then I would be ahead on balance. I'd be happy with myself, I'm sure. But I do think execution is like what you said is paramount.
Yeah, because you learn that you could be right in the direction and lose money. You could be wrong in the direction and make money. I mean, how many 100%. Times? I mean, how many times that happened to me in my career? Because I was able to just execute well and adapt to what the market was showing me at the time, and it all came down to my execution. It didn't matter what I thought what the market was going to do. All about execution there. So, as someone who is a full-time pilot, you also have a family, a beautiful family. You basically have two full-time jobs there, Josh. So
it's kind of like three, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Trading, family, and work. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, three. So how are you managing your time with trading?
Yeah, and it's very difficult. And that's probably the only unexplored question that I can't really answer because I'm not going to quit tomorrow, you know, my actual job. And so the generic routine is, you know, some days I get up early, I'll trade the European session. If I'm not actually flying, I'll go to the office. And so I can monitor trades there. I get some trade signals that I may or may not put on, but really not very involved. Do the family stuff in the evenings, do homework sometimes, or do it the next morning. Sometimes I'll trade the Asian sessions. But I mean, really, that's probably the biggest thing that, like you said before, is your routine, and you can kind of control the environment. You can control, you know, what workout you do. Like, I have two kids running around like crazy, like obviously other demands. Like it's almost impossible for me to actually have, you know, a realistic schedule that I can keep every day. You know, it's just not possible. So that's another conversation I have with myself, and I continue to have with myself, is it even reasonable for me to try and continue to trade knowing that I have to overcome these? And the answer I keep coming back to myself is yes. If you trade well, then nothing really should stand in your way. It's really just an excuse. That's the conclusion I came to. Everything else that I would think of, I don't have enough time to trade. Okay, well, don't trade the next day. You know, oh, I'm too tired. Okay, don't trade the next day. I'm too worked up. Okay, don't trade the next day. It doesn't have to be anything external. If you could, I could still trade the same way I do now with this schedule. I just can't do it as much as I want to. And so that's what I run up against. I'm up against my own limitations, and then I push the envelope where I shouldn't.
And it's just like we talk about calling the path versus executing the path. You know yourself, you know your situation. Now it's about going out and executing when you know you have yourself in the right mindset to trade. And that's a big thing that a lot of people don't really do. They don't consider it when they're in a situation like you that has a job, has a family. The minute they have a moment to trade, they just trade because they have that moment. They don't recognize it.
100%.
Maybe, you know, maybe 100%. Right now I'm not feeling it, and you just, you know, push it off to another time. Because like I said earlier, it's about having time in this business, having time to learn it. So this way you don't shoot yourself in the foot too early to when you finally do learn it, you're out of capital to do it. So,
yep.
So Josh, I want to talk about networking because you've mentioned it a lot today. You've talked about how you've used Twitter, and I think networking in this business is very important because a lot of what I've learned in the business is from traders that came from before me. You're active Absolutely. On Twitter and you do a lot of your networking on there. How has that helped Yes. your growth as a trader?
Yeah, so that was kind of, like I said, the last phase that I kind of knew. This is kind of a good story too. I think I'll keep it brief, but I knew that I was lacking in that area. I knew I would benefit from interacting with other traders. And this is before I was even really doing anything on Twitter, probably a year ago or so, or a year and a half ago. And I said, okay, I have a basic idea of strategy. I'm an outgoing personality anyways, but I felt like there's a reason why, you know, not everyone made it in the pits, but you could learn off somebody there. Whereas for me, looking at a screen, like reading 140 character statements, it's like, it's not going to happen, you know? So I needed to like actually interact with people. And so I said, well, how do I do this? How do I like find someone that I can just go up to and sort of talk to? Cause you know, Twitter's semi-private. You can't just like start a conversation. Nobody knows who I am. So they may or may not want to use their time on me, which wouldn't hurt my feelings. So I actually, the first step, and I say this to everyone, I came to your meetup. That was the first thing I did. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go meet this dude, Anthony Credelli, who I've like seen on Twitter. We've talked a little bit. He's a super nice dude. I said, I'm going to drive to Chicago for like 30 hours and I'm going to just drive back. And she was like, whatever, do what you got to do. And so I drove out there for that meet and greet. I met you, obviously. I met a couple other people there, and that was like the beginning of it. And then I just started to kind of, again, build up on Twitter, just interact with the people. It's an amazing networking platform, in my opinion, especially for this business. There's so many people that are just really good people out there that, you know, don't mind even just, you know, dropping 20 minutes and just chatting with you. And so you don't gain everything like all in once, obviously, but over the course of interactions, and even something as practical as, hey, I just saw this happens, you know, during this level you posted out here. Look at what I was looking at. And not that I necessarily absorbed it and use it in my strategy now, but you pick up little tidbits along the way, and you do use what other people use, even if you don't knowingly do so. That might be kind of, might not make sense, but you learn from their experience, even if you're not using it in your own strategy, I guess, if that makes sense. So I really started to gain a lot, I think, from that. And I'd say that has been the final piece that I needed. Again, not that I gained any strategy from anybody, but just listening to pro traders talk, I felt like really benefited me. And just the way they talk about the market, the way they approach the market. And it wasn't like, okay, Josh, here's what you're going to do today. You're going to do A, B, and C. They were just talking about their own trades, their own process. And it just rubs off on you. That's the best way I can say it. And I knew that's what would happen. I knew if I was like in an environment where I was like in a prop shop or on the pits, you know, my personality would be favorable to that. So I need to like try and replicate that. Even though I can't get 100% of that, if I can just get a little bit, I'm sure it'll benefit me. And if it doesn't, so what? At least I tried. But it definitely has. It definitely has.
What do you think that a trader like myself, who's been in the industry for a long time, takes for granted versus someone like you that hasn't?
It would depend on what kind of, if you're talking directly to me, it would be how helpless you feel. I guess I don't want to sound too too dramatic, but like how helpless of a feeling. And I'm sure, you know, like anything, I put in perspective for me with flying, you know, you can kind of replicate what you were like when you were learning to fly and you like were struggling and it was difficult. Like you remember those feelings, but it's not quite the same. And I recognize that because you can see like visibly in people's faces, you know, doing poorly or whatever. And something for you, you take second nature. So just how difficult it is at the beginning, because it is isolating, you know, you're there by yourself. And not that I don't mind that. I'm my personality is pretty strong headed, so I don't mind putting my head down and just doing it myself. But when you come up for air and you're still not anywhere farther, you're like, wow, this is very difficult. And I've said this routinely, that not that I'm some like, you know, incredible genius person, but this is the first thing I've ever really tried with any kind of effort that I've basically fallen flat on my face repeatedly. So it's difficult. You know, it's very difficult. It continues to be difficult. And that's something you said, and just like other people I know, it doesn't go away. You just get better at dealing with it.
I wish I could tell you it's going to get easier, Josh.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, I mean, you just get better at dealing with it. That is yep. What I think is the difference between, you know, a short term in the industry versus a person who's been in the industry for a while, is to just get better at dealing with it. Last question before we get into rapid fire, Josh. You're a pilot.
All right.
So I'm curious, any qualities you learn from being a pilot that have helped you with trying to become a full-time trader?
Yeah, that's something I get a lot on Twitter, is, oh, you should be good at trading because flying is hard and trading is hard and flying's harder, so you should win. That's like, it doesn't really work that way. But the biggest thing probably is, so most flying is very systematic. You know, almost everything's systematized. So you run the same checklists, you do the same things all at the same time. The guy sitting next to you has been trained the same way, so you know what to expect out of him. And so there's usually very high confidence of what you do is resulted in an expectation that you can already anticipate coming. So the market is not like that at all. And so I tried to approach it from the same way very rigidly, and it obviously did not work. But one thing that did help me, like I said before, is developing those checklists. So not necessarily around the market, because I tried to apply that to the market. It didn't work. The market doesn't color between the lines very often for you. But what I figured out was, okay, I can keep myself in a systematized process if I make myself systematic. And it's kind of funny too, because not to toot my own horn, but I kind of figured this stuff out on my own, which is nice, because I probably saved myself some time and you know, capital, obviously, before I had really come across that anywhere else. Like, oh, I have a systematic process. I kind of had already started doing that stuff. So I was like, oh, that's cool. Like I kind of found, I don't want to say the correct answer, but I'm putting some things in place that are good. With that being said, it's not the Holy Grail. It's not like, you know, I did those things and now I'm, you know, everything's, I'm winning everything. but that was probably the biggest thing, just having a systematized process.
Josh, man, thank you so much for sharing a lot of this great stuff with us today, but we're not done yet. We have rapid fire questions if you're ready for those.
Let's do it.
All right, everyone, our rapid fire segment is sponsored by Trading Technologies. Access the global markets from virtually anywhere with TT. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. And now you can trade cryptocurrency spot and derivative markets side by side. For more information, please visit tradingtechnologies.com. Josh, what trader has influenced your life the most and why?
It's hard to pick just one. Probably Tom Dante. He's very active on Twitter. Again, probably become personal friends. Just the way he talks about the markets. Just overall really good guy.
What was one of the hardest things for you to overcome in trading?
That would be my own personal mistakes and or lack of time.
How has your trading process evolved over the years?
It's become much more systematic, much more process oriented.
What is one attribute that you believe every trader should have?
Determination or grit.
Favorite book you've read about trading?
I'm going to curveball this. I'm not going to name a trading book, but I like Discipline Equals Freedom by Jocko Willink.
What's your favorite movie about trading?
Either Trading Places or The Big Short.
What's the best piece of advice that you've received about trading?
I'd amend my answer, but I'm going to say, once you have something set up, a process, listen to the little voice when you know deep down you should.
If you could go back in time and give the younger you a piece of advice, what would it be?
Tell your broker to set up rules for you, like you said, and probably network earlier.
Last question for today, Josh. What's your favorite thing to do when you're not trading or being a pilot?
Hanging out with my family and doing some boating.
Josh, this was awesome. Where could people find you on Twitter and if you have a website?
On Twitter, I'm at Josh Man Mode. And the website, it's not there yet. I might be building something soon, nothing crazy, but it'll be the same thing, joshmanmode.com, eventually.
All right, we'll look for that on Twitter. Josh, thank you so much for coming on Futures Radio Show.
Yeah, it was an absolute pleasure to be here. I'm honored.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.